O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The story is grim. The United Church of Christ, this church's denomination, has experienced a steady multi-decade decline in membership and worship attendance since it peaked in 1960. In the past 70 years, membership has dropped by 70%. As those numbers dropped, churches closed. Since 1960, the total number of churches in our denomination has dropped by about 46%. We are not special in this. Other similar Protestant churches, often called the mainline churches, have experienced similar patterns since the 1960s. The 1960s, so it is not the millennials' fault. I'm just taking that out of your hand. I was not alive in that 1960. The story is grim. The influence of progressive, liberal, and even moderate churches has declined, and yet Christian nationalism has been on the rise. A Public Religion Research Institute report concluded that 1/3 of Americans qualify as either adherents or sympathizers to Christian nationalism. 1/3. When Christianity is in the news these days, it's not often for being the good news that Jesus proclaimed, quoting from the prophet Isaiah. Good news to the poor, freedom to the prisoners, setting the oppressed free, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. No. These days, when Christianity makes headlines, it's when politicians use it to justify war crimes. Or in crusade-like images from the Department of Homeland Security. Or when Christian nationalists invade synagogues and mosques. A steady stream of horror. The story could have been grim. Jesus gone, the apostles on their own, no real clear path forward. And then it happened. The Spirit of God came down and all people were understood in their own languages as we celebrated last week at Pentecost. And when asked for an explanation, Peter reaches for a section from the prophet Joel. The book of Joel is fundamentally about the end of the world, grim at the very least. And it says, in the last days it will be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Peter then, though, goes on to tell the story of the gospel to the gathered crowd of Israelites, from the Hebrew scriptures through to Jesus' death and resurrection. And when the crowd hears this remarkable story, the text says that they were cut to the heart and asked Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter invites them to be baptized and to receive the Holy Spirit. And that day, 3,000 people were added to the movement. What should we do? It's a question that pastors get a lot. What's the future of the church? After all, isn't the story grim? After those 3,000 were baptized, the text says that they devoted themselves to the life of the faith, learning and fellowship, breaking bread and prayers. The text proclaims then that awe came upon everyone because many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. Those first apostles, they had something that caught fire, something that the watching world saw and was pulled in. The Spirit was at work. When Peter spoke, people listened. I think they listened because being close to Jesus had changed Peter's life and it showed. Being close to Jesus was changing people's lives and the other people were simply drawn toward that. And so what should we do? It's not a complicated formula. The story, it could be grim, but it's not. A new study from Pew Research Center shows that the decline in religious participation has slowed. It's no longer a precipitous drop, but the graph has evened out as people all across the country are realizing that churches like this one can help us to find our way in a maddening world. More than 60% of people in the United States say that they feel a sense of awe and gratitude. More than 80% of people believe in God or some universal spirit. The story is not only grim, because after all, this is our story, still being written even as we welcome new members and today our confirmands. The story is not only grim because this is God's story, still being written as our hearts are changed, as we listen to each other's testimonies, and as we share life and break bread together. So what should we do? Let me argue for the ancient path. Baptize, teach, break bread, pray, perform signs and wonders, give into awe. Praise God day by day by day by day. And church, I see you doing this. I see us doing this. I see God at work in the life of this church and in each of our lives, in our neighborhoods and at our jobs and in the school pickup line and in board meetings and in the day-to-day acts of that have always been how love makes its way into this world. Baptize. In 2025, Old South Church baptized 21 people, 8 of them adults. Most of those adults were queer adults. God's grace flowing through the baptism waters right in this very place. Teach. Our theological book group is one of the hottest tickets in town for a Monday night Zoom. Woohoo, yeah. Others gather to study scripture and theology in person and online, here at the church and in each other's homes. Break bread. Recently, I asked a group of people who lived in Jamaica Plain to offer food to a church member who had just had surgery. And we got tenfold the number of offers than that family could even eat. Abundance shows up in many ways. Awe came upon everyone because wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Okay, so it's a different kind of sign, but our God loves trans people sign has created waves all across Boston. Awe shines through these messages in our social media, which say, "Thank you. As a trans person who works next door, it means a lot to me to see it. This is helping to heal my religious trauma. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. I come here weekly to sing with my chorus, and the sign makes me feel better about the world. I'm trans. I sent pictures of your signage as well to my trans friends, and I know two who ugly cried. That sign means a lot to us. Our neighbors see a sign of hope, a message of love, a reason to stay alive. Deepest gratitude goes to Jamie Garuti Sage for design and for persistence in signs and wonders. They had all things in common and they gave as any had need. The weekly pushback and other outreach grants, an air conditioner given for a member in an attic apartment in July, rides to church and to the doctor, help for rent for members who experience housing instability, all because we share what we have and we ask for what we need. So siblings, what should we do? Let our lives testify like Peter did so long ago that drawing close to Jesus has changed us. Day by day by day to live into the good news that Christ has made love manifest here and now in the church. The recipe is not a complicated one. It's old. It's old and it is sturdy. Pray. Gather in each other's homes and share food. Share what you have. Ask for what you need. Offer signs and wonders to a watching world. confirmands and new member Gail, this is the church that you are joining. It is an old sort of place, following old ways in a new time. A church that seeks to be a sign of hope and love to everyone passing by. This is our church. This is your church. So what should we do? Amen.